Blog Talk Radio.
Year 2012, but we're in the middle of the year. Anyway, a lot of interesting birthdays and events on this day. Robert Cecil, or Burley as he was known in Elizabeth I's reign, he was born today. And of course, the Cecils had a long history of political and government influence in the English monarchy and in English history. Brigham Young, his birthday today. And of course, now that it looks like Romney has pretty well got the Republican nomination sewn up. And as I have said in Political Animals, that we've had a Roman Catholic, John Kennedy. Actually, we had another, we was baptized a Roman Catholic, but grew up as a Methodist, Charles Curtis, who's a Native American Indian. And he was the vice president in the Hoover administration. I don't know if that counts. We've also had Joe Lieberman, a senator from Connecticut, now an independent, Jewish background. So I guess, as I repeatedly said, it's the Mormons' turn. And it'll be very interesting to see if a couple of things. If Romney is elected and there is they control the vote project as we expect it. Whether or not there will be alcohol served in the White House. Now, during the presidency of Rutherford B. Hayes, part of the Ohio, I won't call it gang, but the Ohio presidents, Ohio and Virginia are known as the mother of presidents. Garfield's wife, Garfield was a general in the Civil War, as was Rutherford Hayes. She was known as Lemonade Lucy because she banned alcohol in the White House. So it's going to be very interesting to see whether or not Mrs. Romney will serve alcoholic drinks. We don't know. Nobody's asked if, when Romney was governor whether or not alcohol was served in the Massachusetts State House. Considering those beer barons down there, Samuel Adams, I wonder. Anyway, among the other birthdays today, famous Russian composer, part of the Five, Mikhail Glinka was born, a name connected to California history, the Mexican War, and also a street in San Francisco, and also a site in Nebraska, Philip K. Kearney, U.S. Army soldier and officer. Another soldier and officer who served as General Robert E. Lee's right-hand man, John Hood, was born today. And if you see the movie Gettysburg, Hood is featured quite prominently. And I think Fort Hood, Texas is named after him, even though he was a Confederate. Famous English poet, John Masefield, born today. Several actors and singers, Frank Morgan, Connie Stevens, Molly Peacon, Marilyn Monroe, we'll get into Marilyn because there's something very special about her, Andy Griffith, Edward Woodward, who starred in the movie, about the South African Australians who Australians in the South African Boer War, who killed some Boers, and there was this infamous trial, and the Australians are still pissed off about it even today. Breaker Morant. Now, a breaker in Australian lingo means somebody who broke horses and made them, made them rideable. That was a famous thing. And he later, Breaker Morant or Edward Woodward, later starred in a detective movie series here in set in New York. Ty Hodden, another actor. And then Robert Powell. Also among the great singers, we had our musicians, Nelson Riddle, who did a lot of work with orchestras and with Frank Sinatra. We had Frederica von Stade, an opera singer. Her father was killed in the Battle of the Bulge. She never knew her father. She lives in San Francisco and does teaching now. And then Carol Neblett. Neblett was the first opera star to do a nude scene on the opera stage. And I think it was Salome, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know how her career went after that. I think she still did some recording. I don't know if she did any more nude scenes. A Dutch conductor who worked with the San Francisco Symphony, Ado de Waart. And then, of course, we had Pat Boone, another singer. And, of course, I think he recently died. And then we had famous black, I don't know if you call him evangelist, I'd call him a media minister, Reverend Ike. And Ike Toller was his full name, but he was known as Reverend Ike on the radio and in the media. And what he used to say, I don't want to hear the tinkle of coins, I want to hear the rustle of big dollar bills. And not dollars, but, larger currency, but the rustle of big paper money. So at least he was honest about his hustle. I think he recently died. Among the deaths today, Helen Keller, a famous movie. She was deaf and blind, and then famous. There was a couple of movies made about her. And then Richard Green, an English actor who played Robin Hood. And those of you who love Scotch, among the events today in 1495, Scotch was first registered in Scotland. Apparently it was brewed by a friar named John Coate. John Coo. And then in 1638, believe it or not, the first recorded earthquake occurred in Plymouth, Massachusetts. We've had in the early 1800s, we had Tennessee and Kentucky admitted to the United States. We had the first land-grant university set up in 1809 in Ohio. We had a homing pigeon who went around the world, apparently, in 55 days. And then there's this interesting guy named William Walker who went to Nicaragua to reestablish slavery. I think there's a movie about him. We also had, when the Civil War started in 1861, there was no more mail exchange between the Confederacy South and the Union. In 1869, we had 1866, excuse me, Irish Fenians, who were the forerunner of the Irish Republican Army, terrorists. They invaded Fort Erie, Ontario. They also invaded Quebec, I believe, caused a lot of problems up there. And then, believe it or not, in 1869, Thomas Edison invented a voting machine. I don't know if there was much vote fraud back then. There was a thing called in California's vote fraud called the tapeworm ticket. and we'll get into that another day. And 1921 was one of the worst race riots in America. It occurred in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I think about 60 blacks were killed and over 20 whites were killed. Terrible, terrible race riots. Excuse me. In 1941, Germany banned all Catholic publications. And this is another example. Some of the Catholic bishops in Nazi Germany went along with Hitler's government. And this is what I've always said, that when the government has always got to be kept away from organized religion, because when they embrace, a man can't serve two masters. Not only does one of them get shortchanged, usually the religious person, but he loses his shorts as well. And in every instance throughout history, from the Inquisition onward, now the Inquisition started as a Catholic purge of the Albigensian heresy, which started, or the Albigensians, which started, I think, in southern France. And then the Spanish and the Portuguese, which had the worst version of the Inquisition, realized here was a tool to stifle political dissent and then the religious people who didn't adhere to the Catholic faith. This is what happened. And in our throughout history, you had whenever the governments got involved with religions, whether it was in England, where they burned heretics, the government, the various monarchies, Elizabeth, Cromwell, they tried to stifle dissent. In fact, the Puritans felt that the English government was too liberal toward treating other religions. So this is one of the reasons why they came to America and tried to impose their own version upon the colonists. We've had the quote, we've seen in Russia the Orthodox Church is funded by the communists. We see in China the Catholic Church is controlled by the communist government. They even appointed bishops. In Spain and Italy, the governments got to either approve or appoint bishops. So this is what happens, and this is one of the problems as we see it with this whole business of government and marriage. I mean, if gays and lesbians want to be married, let them do it in the church of their choice. Just keep the government out of it. Civil unions give them all the benefits that married couples have. So, but of course, it depends on what your definition of marriage is. Among the other things that occurred, in 1949, the first magazine was put on microfilm for was Newsweek, and now we're seeing more and more media. What was print media is now switching to video, and as what we're doing with Veritas USA, we are switching to a DVD and video, so it's recorded that way, because paper just takes up a lot of space, and also where you're going to put it and who's going to read it. So this is what I call the latest phase of the Gutenberg Revolution, and Gutenberg was the inventor of the printing press, which enabled the dissemination of news. In the Middle Ages, the monks in the monastery controlled the dissemination of information because they were the ones who were educated and who did the handwriting of everything. So when Gutenberg in the 14th century or 15th century invented his printing press, he broke the monopoly of the monasteries and the monks on dissemination of news. Excuse me. Also, talking about dissemination of information, in 1980, Ted Turner started Cable News Network and Broadcasting News. Now, an important birthday today, well, she's dead, was Marilyn Monroe, who was apparently, there's some debate about, was she born Marilyn Gifford? Or was her name Mortensen. Anyway, she had some very interesting ancestors. Gifford did, her father, who was believed to be her father, and they go back to Rhode Island in the early colonial period of the American history. And among her ancestors on the Gifford side, who was supposed to be her father, was somebody related to Mary Borden, who was related to Lizzie Borden, the woman accused of giving 40 whacks to her family and killing them. FDR, the Bushes, Harding, President Harding, Richard Nixon, Ford, Carter, and then the famous Hutchinson family, and then, of course, the Taft family of Ohio, a lot of famous people, and also possibly one Canadian prime minister, Robert Borden. Of course, Marilyn Monroe is best known not only for that photo of her with her dress flying up, but for singing Happy Birthday to John Kennedy, and we're going to play that here again, since it is her birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President. Happy birthday to you. Hey, Mr. President. For all the things you've done, the battles that you've won, the way you deal with your fear and your problems by the time we found you. Well, now, everybody, happy birthday!
That she had relationships with both Kennedys. It's highly controversial. And, of course, that famous autopsy in L.A. with the late coroner, Thomas Noguchi, the L.A. coroner's office, which handles more homicides and deaths and that sort of thing than any other public, I won't call it mortician, but public homicide or medical examiner. So that's still interesting. You know, I really think that Marilyn was underrated as an actress, that she really had great talent, but most people didn't see beyond her as a blonde bombshell. She starred in some great movies. The last one was with Clark Gable when The Misfits, and he had a heart attack after that. I think he died on the set of that movie. She was in quite a few movies. Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, the famous movie with Tony Curtis and Jack Lemmon, and then her earliest film, just the walk-on part briefly with Sterling Hayden in a great famous robbery film. But I think as history goes on, and of course all her husbands, Joe DiMaggio, Arthur Miller, the playwright. And then she was married to a guy named Jim Daugherty. Her first husband was a merchant marine. And she did work in a munitions factory in Southern California. Also, I understand her father, who was said to be her father, Gifford, started a drive-in dairy. And she used to come by in her chauffeured limo. He abandoned her, apparently, and came north to San Francisco and then went back to Southern California. And she would come by to this his drive-in dairy, and he would have to serve her. I guess she was reminding him that he was her father, or he was known to be her father. There are several cases of fathers abandoning their children, and the children later go on to become famous people or infamous people. So you never know where you come from, but it's where you end up that counts. Among the other issues, I highly recommend Jack Heschel's book, since the Vatican's political and financial scandals are not going to go away. It's the richest church in the world, the Roman Catholic Church, and they've got to get their act together because there's $1 billion worth of judgments that we know about against the church because they failed to deal with all these pedophile cases. Now, interestingly, the New York Times, which was started by people of German Jewish heritage, the Oaks of I think it came from Tennessee, German OCHS, some of them anglicized the name to OAKS, ran a huge article on the Hasidic Jews and their sexual predator cases. And of course it goes on in the other religions as well. We've had the notorious cases here in San Francisco where Amos Brown, black minister who claims have touched the his claim to fame is touching the hem of Martin Luther King's garment. He runs the Third Baptist Church, or the Last Baptist Church. He has $250,000 in pedophile judgments against him and his church. Not only that, the morons in the media ignored these court cases, and they... the San Francisco Examiner, in one of its incarnations, and pushed him, endorsed him for public office, which is how bad it is. They wouldn't do that to a Roman Catholic priest who was accused of pedophilia, or maybe even a rabbi, but this is how screwed up the media is. Now, we've always said that it isn't only the Catholic Church that's had these problems, it's these other religions as well. And, of course, they get away with it. And then the only case that they couldn't cover up was that of Jim Jones, who was a fundamentalist sexual predator. And that was back during the 70s. Now, my brother knew Jim Jones. I never knew Jim Jones, but I had a girlfriend that tried to get me involved with Jim Jones, and I said no. I realized what a fraud he was. And, of course, I was invited to go down to Guyana, and I refused. But this is the type of thing that you've got to be aware of. Now, a new thing that's come up, and this, if you move to California, there is a California motor vehicle regulation or statute which says you have 30 days to turn your old plates in, your license plates on your car, go to DMV, and they will examine the car and check the VIN number, and you have to pay a transfer fee and get your car smogged. And the transfer fee depends on the value of your vehicle. If it's a newer vehicle, you're going to pay. It can be as much as used to be $500 or so. Now, we had a case here of a guy who had a car. His car was towed, was stolen, and then it was found and towed to the contractor handles this auto return. And this happened to me also. But my car is registered in California. Anyway. For some reason, he couldn't connect, and they couldn't get a hold of him, or they said they couldn't, and it turned out that he had Ohio plates on his vehicle. Not only that, he claims, according to the reports, that his home, quote, now, or has been, here in San Francisco in California. So the car was auctioned off and sold. He complained that, he's been treated unfairly, blah, blah, blah. But nobody's looking at the fact that, hey, there's this rule, and it looks like he's been here longer than 30 days. And, of course, the article referred to his home. Now, the only exceptions to the 30-day rule of statute are people in the military, students, and also diplomatic personnel. This guy apparently, we strongly suspect, just didn't follow the California rules and statutes that to go to DMV and have, to do the transfer. So the defense of the auto return people who sold his car is that, hey, they couldn't check his registration back in Ohio. Not only that, where was the car insured? You're supposed to inform your insurance company if you move to another area because the rates change and also there are other factors involved. So this guy screwed himself, whether by intent or default or ignorance. But ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you. That's one of my quotations from Chairman Pedro, a little book that we wrote. Now, next week is a couple of important anniversaries. One is we will follow up with some new information on the international homicide of Hugues de la Plaza, whose father was in the French Navy, who was brutally murdered here in San Francisco. We believe he was brutally murdered. And an ex-cop, former cop, who lived in a building where there was a bar, the Pigalle, La Pigalle, where Hugues was last seen alive. It's a bar accused of drug dealing and having political connections. And we will discuss what he told us and what other people suspect in the neighborhood, that Hugues was the victim. He was a target of opportunity, and was brutally murdered when he was drunk. No drugs, supposedly, was found in his system. And the unusual thing is that he had a black belt, and there were accusations or allegations that he may have been gay. That was investigated and victim of taking someone home. That has never been proven. And, of course, I had talked to his father, and then the head of French media here in the United States, his grandfather was the Minister of Justice in the French government, and also his great-grandfather was the chief rabbi in France. So it was interesting connections, and we'll get into that next week. It's also the 34th birthday of Stephen Nery, U.S. Navy sailor, who we believe was drugged and lured to Juan P. Ferre's house, a sexual predator with two priors, and connected to the prosecutor who illegally prosecuted the case using forged documents to get him off the ship and abused him as well as the sheriff of San Francisco for 3.5 years, and then had a kangaroo court trial consisting of jurors, two of whom may have not even been U.S. citizen, and then a corrupt judge who placed ads in a male prostitution publication. This guy, Kevin Ryan, who tried to become a federal judge when he was exposed, thinking that he would have immunity. Anyway, we'll get into that and a few other things in June, and, of course, we'll have more interviews coming. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and we're out of the merry month of May, and we're going to get into more of Planned Parenthood. We've got some other videos that exposing these sexual predators. They're more maternity predators, I should call them that. So here's our theme song.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost of five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, what do you say?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and
or poker? Which is more important?
Paratrade.
Madam!
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Say, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about...
That's a factor in picking the vice president, whoever around me chooses. Anyway, this is Peter Paul Brazola. We may be back Monday at noon because we have an important appointment at 4 o'clock or 3:30, which we can't get out of. So we'll decide over the weekend whether there'll be a show at noon on Monday. It's Peter Paul Brazola. Good night. And go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas.